Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves, and despite all our mistakes, you continue to love us. We thank you for being so ready to forgive us whenever we turn to you and honestly acknowledge your power and our own shortfallings and faults. We thank you that no matter who we are or what we have done or failed to do, we can experience the joy of forgiveness and begin again. Thank you for the fellowship of your church, the community of those who have confessed their sin and are receiving your promise of life made whole. Thank you for every person who shares your love with us and every person who demonstrates the reality of the love of Jesus in all they say and do. For every person whose offer of forgiveness has set us free to begin again and has been a sign to us of your love, which is always reaching out to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we bring these prayers of praise, confession, and thanks. Amen. And we're now going to sing the Calypso version of the Lord's Prayer. Just thought in the bits for the activity there are some stickers with a Bible verse on it. You can either stick that on the front of the plate or on the reverse of the plate, wherever you feel you'd like to stick it. And if you or on your forehead. Also, you mightn't have enough apple stalks on your table. Some of you that are tables of eight, but there's some on other tables. We don't always realise, do we, that something we choose to do can have a big effect on other people's lives or even on our own life. The Bible shows us this principle in the story of Adam and Eve. In the book of Genesis, we read that God created Adam and Eve, the first man and woman. He placed them in a beautiful garden, which they were given to look after. God told them that they were free to eat from any tree in the garden. However, there was one rule. God told them not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We're now going to have a dramatized Bible reading, and let's see what Adam and Eve chose to do when God's enemy, the devil, came on the scene. The serpent was clever, more clever than any wild animal God had made. He spoke to the woman.
Do I understand that God told you not to eat from any tree in the garden?
Oh, not at all. We can eat from the trees in the garden. It's only that tree in the middle of the garden that God said, don't eat from it, don't even touch it, or you will die.
You won't die. God knows the moment you eat that tree, you'll see what's really going on. You'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging all the way from good to evil.
When the woman saw that the tree looked like good eating and realized that she would get what she would get out of it, she would know everything, she took and ate the fruit and then gave some to her husband. And he ate too. Immediately, the two of them did see what was really going on. They saw that they were naked.
Oh.
They sewed together some fig leaves as makeshift clothes for themselves. When they heard the sound of God strolling in the garden in the evening breeze, the man and his wife hid. They hid from God.
Where are you?
I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid.
Who told you you were naked? Did you eat from that tree I told you not to eat from?
The woman who gave me as a companion, she gave me the fruit from the tree and yes,
what is this that you have done?
The serpent seduced me, and I ate.
Because you've done this, you're cursed. Cursed beyond all cattle and wild animals. Cursed to slink on your belly and eat dirt all your life. I'm declaring war between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He'll wound your head, you'll wound his heel. And for you, I'll multiply your pains in childbirth. You'll give birth to your babies in pain. You'll want to please your husband, but he'll lord it over you. Are you listening to me? Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Don't eat from this tree. The very ground is cursed because of you. Getting food from the ground will be as painful as having babies is for your wife. You'll be working in pain all your life long. The ground will sprout thorns and weeds. You'll get your food the hard way, planting and tilling and harvesting, sweating in the fields from dawn till dusk, until you return to that ground yourself, dead and buried. You started out as dirt and you'll end up as dirt.
God then threw the man and woman out of the garden. And stationed angel cherubim and a revolving sword of fire east of it, guarding the path to the tree of life.
just reminding myself where I am. There's so much involved in this service this morning. I hope you enjoyed that little dramatised Bible reading. Sometimes just more interesting, isn't it, than having a Bible reading read out for us. And so God made this beautiful world in which we live. And he made man and woman. The first man and woman were Adam and Eve. And he made each one of us. We are the apple God's eye. And to us, to him, we are incredibly precious children of his. And God wants to enjoy a loving relationship with each one of us. And in the beginning, we saw that he was having a very close relationship with Adam and Eve. But unfortunately, things went wrong when Eve decided to listen to the serpent and to feed the apple to her husband. It's always the woman's fault, isn't it? And so Adam and Eve... Oh dear. Is it easier if I use the roving mic? No? Will that be okay? Can you hear me? Yeah? Okay, good. So Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. They had been given the rules very clearly, don't eat from that tree in the middle of the garden. But they chose to disobey him. And instead, they listened to Satan because they saw that the fruit looked good to eat and they didn't want to miss out. That there's abbreviations for that, aren't there, today? FOMO, fear of missing out. And I think that's what Adam and Eve had in the garden at that time. And as soon as they took a bite from that apple, they realized that they had done something wrong. They had sinned against God. And because they felt ashamed, they hid from God. They realized that they weren't wearing any clothes, and so they felt ashamed. And because of the fact that they had sinned, their relationship with God had unfortunately broken down. And they were unable to enjoy walking closely with God anymore. Instead, they hid from him because they were ashamed. Now, God doesn't like it when we make mistakes, when we sin. Because to him, to God, sin should never be in his presence, should never be anywhere near him. He doesn't like sin. And Adam and Eve were sent out of the Garden of Eden. And they were separated from him. Now you might think, well, that's quite sad for Adam and Eve, but what has that got to do with each one of us today? Well, like Adam and Eve, we have all chosen to do things wrong. We have all chosen to sin against each other and against God. Now, the good news is that God doesn't give up on us. Just because we've made mistakes, it's not that he will cast us aside and never want anything to do with us anymore. He wanted to put our relationships with him on the right footing. Even though it was our fault that that relationship had broken down. And so God had a rescue plan, and he decided to send his only son, Jesus Christ, into this world to be born as a baby in Bethlehem, to teach us the right way, and also to pay the price for the sin that we have in our lives. Now, God had put a sign in the sky to show people that Jesus was on his way. Do you know what that sign was? A special star in the sky that led the wise men to Bethlehem. Now, I don't know whether you've ever looked inside an apple, but there's a little star inside every apple, if you cut it that way. And so whenever I cut an apple, I always think that that's a sign that Jesus will come again someday. Now, unlike us, Jesus led a totally sin-free life. He had 33 years or thereabouts on this earth, and he didn't do anything to upset God. All he wanted was to have a loving relationship with his Father and do the best that he could do to give his Father glory. And at 33, Jesus was crucified on the cross. He was accused of crimes that he had not committed, but he chose to take our place. He chose to take our sin on him, so that we, each of us, could have a close relationship with God again. And that's what God wants with each and every one of us. He wants us to be close to him, to enjoy that loving personal relationship, to get to know him better. And of course, he knows what's going on in our lives at any moment, but he likes it when we tell him about our lives and when we choose to share our lives with him. And we're all faced with a very important choice. We can choose to take our tiny seed. And if we do that, we can be totally forgiven for everything that we have ever done wrong. Our sins will be forgiven, and God will open up his loving arms to each one of us so that we can have that personal relationship with him. And when we choose to accept Jesus into our lives, we're also sent an amazing gift that Jesus had told us he would send, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter that lives inside of us and wants us to be connected to God and wants us to obey God. And so that Holy Spirit, that comforter, will help each and every one of us in our relationship with God and in our relationship with others. And so we can choose, each one of us, to place our seed of faith in Jesus. Or we can choose to throw away that seed of faith, to abandon God and to no longer have any relationship with him. That choice faces every single man, woman, boy and girl on this earth. And so we all have a very important choice to make. So will we choose Jesus? Will we choose to accept him in our lives? Or will we decide to cast him away to one side? very important decision. And later in the service, you'll see that you've got a little bag of some seeds on your table, and we'll be doing an exercise with those shortly. But for now, we're going to watch a wonderful YouTube video. Who, O Lord, could save themselves? And following this song, we'll take up the offertory.
Pray for governments and leaders. We ask, Lord, that they would turn to you for guidance. Save them from thinking that some people matter more than others, and show them how to use resources wisely so that all may have the things they need. Lord, we are all members of your family. Show us how to care for one another. We pray, Lord, for the Israel trip that is out in your country at this moment. And we pray for the one that will be going out as they return. We also pray for the areas of conflict around the world. There are so many, Lord, where the situation is grave and dangerous. We lift them all to you. And we also pray for the agencies assisting in those situations. Lord, we are all members of your family. Show us how to care for one another. We pray for organisations and charities dealing with the needs of families, finding housing for people who have lost their homes, running food banks for those who do not have enough to eat. Be with them as they show kindness to those who are in need. We think of families struggling to find ways to stay together. Give them courage and bind them together in love. Lord, we are all members of your family. Show us how to care for one another. We think of families who cannot be together for whatever reason, people travelling or away at university. We just pray, Lord, that they would know the closeness of each other. We remember the needs of our elderly and think of those who are worshipping with us today and those no longer able to join us for Sunday morning worship. We thank you for their wisdom and experience and the contributions they have made and continue to make. Help us to value them as a vital part of our fellowship. Lord, we are all members of your family. Show us how to care for one another. We think of those needing to be cared for because they can no longer look after themselves. We pray for those who have physical problems or those who are muddled and confused. We thank you for those who look after them. Give them patience and understanding and help them to remember every person is made in your image. Lord, we are all members of your family. Show us how to care for one another. And we pray for ourselves. Each one of us is different, but we all matter to you. Show us how to live together in such a way that all may feel welcome here. Lord, we are all members of your family. Show us how to care for one another. Amen. We're now going to sing John Hardwick's song, For God So Disobey You.
Please forgive me. I now choose to turn away from living life my way to follow you. Please come and be my Saviour and my Lord and fill me with your Holy Spirit. For the glory of your name, amen.
For the glory of your name, amen. Amen.
Loving Lord, we just pray that everyone in this room would feel the power of your Holy Spirit moving in their hearts. The comforter, the guide, the counselor. Make us want to obey you, Lord. Make us want to be in a right relationship with you. For we ask this in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And we're now going to finish with the messy grace. If you'd like to all stand up, see if we can make a circle.